Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome you to our conference call regarding the results of the first quarter of 2023. Yesterday, we published the interim report for the first quarter of 2023. The presentation begins with the highlights of the first quarter of 2023 and an overview of the market development. The second part will cover the financial performance. The third part includes the summary and outlook of ProCook's operations. On page five, you can see the highlights of the first quarter of 2023. As in the previous quarters, we had another weak market environment in the first three months of 2023. Despite the headwinds, we were able to stabilize our sales volumes almost at the previous year's levels. Sales volumes in our containerboard business declined by 5%, which is also above the general market development. Main reasons were the lower external demand and the lower base weight of our product portfolio. Based on this volume development and on the significantly lower prices for containerboard and corrugated sheetboard, sales fell by 15.7% to 391 million euro. On the right-hand side, you can see the long-term sales development. Over the five-year period, we achieved a significant sales growth until 2022. For 2023, we expect a drop in sales due to significantly lower sales prices. Our EBITDA normalized in the first quarter of 2023. The achieved EBITDA of 74.4 million euro was below the prior year with an exceptional 116.5 million euro. The EBITDA margin of the first quarter was 19%. This drop was expected given the strong decrease of our sales price and the lower gross profit margins. On the other side, free cash flow increased considerably compared to the first quarter of 2022. Main reasons were the robust result and the strong increase of the working capital in the prior year's first quarter. The net financial debt at the end of the first quarter was decreased further to 620 million euro after 655 million euro at the year-end of 2022. As a consequence of the lower last 12 months EBITDA and the lower net debt, the net leverage remained on a very good level of 1.7 after 1.6 at the year-end of 2022. The average recovered paper prices decreased further in the first quarter of 2023. As in the previous quarters, the price drop was driven by weak demand due to significant production cuts in our industry. Energy prices declined from the high levels of the previous year. Based on a moderate demand and supported by a mild winter, gas and electricity prices in the first quarter were below the average prices of 2022. Due to our moderate hedging levels for the current year, we could benefit from the lower spot market prices. As said before, the corrugated board and containerboard market in the first quarter were significantly weaker than in the prior year. Prices for recycled containerboard decreased further in the first quarter of 2023 due to the reluctant demand and the lower raw material and energy costs. Corrugated board prices followed this development with a very short time lag. Compared to the fourth quarter, prices for corrugated board and containerboard fell by 12% and 27% respectively in the first quarter. The lower raw material and energy costs could only partly compensate for the lower sales prices. We continue with the report of ProCook financial performance. On page eight, you can see the corrugated board volume development. The sales volume of corrugated board decreased marginally by 0.9% in the first quarter compared to the same quarter of the previous year. Despite the weak market, we were able to resist the trend and stabilize our sales volumes on a comparably high level of the previous year's first quarter. Compared to the third and fourth quarter of 2022, sales volume at the beginning of the year was 15%-16% higher. On page nine, you can see the containerboard volume development. In the first quarter, our containerboard sales volume decreased by 5% to 399,000 tons compared to the first quarter of 2022. This development was driven by lower external containerboard sales volumes and internal containerboard demand, basically in line with the prior year. Main reasons for the lower external sales volume were the weak market environment and a shift towards a higher share of super lightweight containerboard grades. The lower internal containerboard sales volume is basically related to timing effects at the year-end 2022. The integration level, including the swap volume, remained on a high level of 87%. On the next page, you can see the quarterly sales development. The quarterly sales decreased further in the first quarter of 2023. The decline in sales revenue is based on the aforementioned small decrease in volume and the significantly lower sales prices in the first quarter. Compared to the same quarter of the previous year, sales revenue decreased by 15.7% to 391 million euros. Compared to the fourth quarter of 2022, sales decreased slightly by 3.3%. After the sales record of 2022, and given the market environment, this development was expected. Page 11 shows the sales bridge from the first quarter of 2022 to the first quarter of 2023, and the sales bridge from the fourth quarter of 2022 to the first quarter of this year. The decline of 15.7% compared to the first quarter of the prior year is the result of 14.5 million euro lower sales due to the lower corrugated board and containerboard sales volume, and 48.3 million euro price effects. Other sales declined by 9.9 million euro, basically related to lower external sales of electricity, which is now directly sold internally. The volume effect is based on 4,000 tons lower corrugated board sales volume and 17,000 tons lower external containerboard sales volume. The price effect is based on approximately 9% lower average sales prices for corrugated board and 24% lower sales prices for containerboard compared to the first quarter of 2022. Compared to the fourth quarter of 2022, sales decreased by 3.3%. This development is driven by a strong positive volume effect of plus 58 million euro and a strong negative price effect of minus 63 million euro. Other sales declined by 7.3 million euro due to the same reasons I mentioned before. The volume effect includes the corrugated board sales volume increase of 50,000 tons and an increase of the external containerboard sales volume by 14,000 tons. The price effect is the result of approximately 12% lower average corrugated board prices and 27% lower average containerboard prices. On the next page, you can see the quarterly EBITDA and EBITDA margin development. In the first quarter of 2023, EBITDA normalized to 74.4 million euro compared to the exceptional strong result of the previous year's first quarter. The EBITDA of the prior year's first quarter was based on very high contribution margins and positive effects from our energy hedges. The first quarter result was impacted by declining sales volume and lower turnover levels. On the other hand, lower recovered paper prices and declining energy costs had a positive effect. However, the lower costs could not fully compensate for the lower sales. After the EBITDA record of the previous year, a normalization was expected. The EBITDA margin decreased to 19% in the first quarter from 25.4% in the fourth quarter of 2022 and 23.4% for the full year 2022. On page 13, you can see the long-term EBITDA margin development on a quarterly basis. The average EBITDA margin of the past 5 years was 22.9%. With 19%, the margin in the first quarter was below this long-term average. It is not unusual that the margin in the first quarter is below the margin of the fourth quarter of the prior year due to energy-related income, which we typically record in the fourth quarter. However, the drop in our margin in the first quarter was comparably strong. The declining sales price impacted our gross margin, which could not be compensated for by lower factor costs. Due to the continuing weaker environment, we expect also weaker margins in the coming quarters. On next page, you can see the cash flow development. The free cash flow more than doubled in the first quarter of 2023 compared to the first quarter of 2022. Free cash flow was 40.5 million euro and therefore also above the free cash flow of the fourth quarter. The high free cash flow is the result of another strong operating cash flow and moderate cash outflows from investing activities. The higher operating cash flows compared to the previous year, first quarter, is driven by the aforementioned EBITDA and rather neutral working capital effects after strongly negative working capital effects in the first quarter of 2022. The cash flows from investing activities were basically related to the progress in our value accretive expansion project. On page 15, you can see the EBITDA to free cash flow waterfall for the first quarter of 2023. We achieved an EBITDA of 74.4 million euro. The cash flow from changes in current provisions was marginally negative at minus 0.9 million euro. The trade working capital increased slightly with a negative effect on the cash flow of 1.5 million euro. The cash flows from changes in other assets and liabilities was marginally positive at 0.6 million euro. We paid 3.7 million euro income taxes. The capex spending amounted to 34.2 million euro and received interest payments of 1.6 million euro. Other effects were positive at 4.3 million euro. As a result, the free cash flow for the first quarter of 2023 amounted to 40.5 million euro. On page 16, we have the development of the net financial debt and net leverage of ProGroup. In the first quarter of 2023, the net leverage was again on a very low level of 1.7. The net financial debt decreased further in the course of the first quarter. Besides scheduled repayments, we made an unscheduled repayment of the GDP loan based on our comfortable liquidity position. However, the also lower last 12 months EBITDA more than compensated for this drop in the financial liabilities. With a net leverage of 1.7, we are again well below the long-term maximum target figure of 3.0. The next page gives a deeper view on the financial debt and the finance costs. Compared to 31st December 2022, the financial gross debt decreased due to the scheduled repayments of the loans outstanding and the unscheduled partial repayment of the pound loan. Compared to the year end of 2022, the amount of undrawn committed bank facilities remained unchanged at 50 million euro. 94% of the financial liabilities at the 31st of March 2023 were denominated in euro and 6% in British pound. Approximately 91% of the financial debt has fixed interest rates and 9% has variable interest rates. The average interest rate in the first quarter was 3.2%, slightly above the figure of the first quarter of 2022. On page 18, you can see the quarterly development of the working capital. At the end of March of 2023, our working capital amounted to 270 million euro. This represents a small increase from the year end of 2022, and a decrease of by 27 million euro compared to the end of the first quarter of the last year. The decrease compared to the prior year's first quarter is basically related to lower trade receivables of 31 million euro, slightly higher inventories of plus 1.1 million euro, and slightly lower trade payables of 3 million euro. Compared to the year end of 2022, working capital increased slightly by 1.5 million euro, which is related to raw material price decreases, which impacted inventories at minus 10.5 million euro, increasing trade receivables of 9.5 million euro, and lower trade payables of 2.5 million euro. The working capital as a percentage of sales increased slightly to 16%, which is well below the value of the first quarter of 2022. On page 20, we present now the summary and outlook. After the weak market environment in the previous quarter, we see some positive signals in the second quarter. Order intake is improving, but remains very volatile in a very competitive market environment. If this development continues through the rest of the second quarter, we expect a small growth in our sales volume. The price pressure in the market led to price decreases for containerboard until April, and in some markets, which typically lag the development in Central Europe, also some decreases in May. However, we expect that we are now close to the bottom line in this downward cycle, unless we would see further significant drops in our input costs. Prices for corrugated board follow the prices for container board. Due to sequential price decreases over the past month, the average price for container board and corrugated board in the second quarter will be below the average prices of the first quarter. Prices for recovered paper are expected to stabilize in the course of the second quarter. With some minor price adjustments, which could lead to slightly higher average price levels compared to the first quarter. Positive signals come from development of the energy spot market, as we see some further downward steps compared to the first quarter. Given our moderate hedging levels, we can benefit from this development. Overall, the significantly lower sales prices will not be compensated for by lower energy or other costs. Therefore, we expect a significantly lower EBITDA in the second quarter compared to the first quarter, and even more compared to the record EBITDA of the second quarter of 2022. EBITDA margin will also be below the margin of the first quarter. The growth project PW14 started commercial production at the beginning of 2023. The plant is now in the ramp-up phase and is developing as expected. We also made progress with the next corrugated board project, PW15. We continued with the construction of the high-bay warehouse and the production hall. Due to bad weather and some supply issues, we are slightly behind our original time schedule. The start of trial production will take place in the first half of 2024. On the first picture, you can see the progress on the site. We also made progress with our project to build another sheet feeder plant in Italy. Construction is scheduled to start in June 2023. And finally, the project to build another waste-to-energy power plant at our PM3 paper mill is progressing well. We received the building permit and started with the construction of the power plant. You can see the progress on the second picture. On Wednesday this week, S&P Global Rating raised its long-term corporate credit rating to Pro Group from BB- to BB with a stable outlook. The rating agency highlighted our improved financial risk profile in the last year due to the strong profitability. On 13th of April 2023, Moody's changed the rating outlook to positive, reflecting our strong point-in-time credit metric for the Ba3 rating category. Both rating agencies have thus taken into account the positive development of our company in recent years and once again confirmed the stable financial structure of our company. With this, we are now at the end of our presentation, and I would be happy to answer any questions you may have on the presentation or what I've said before.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If for any reason you would like to remove that question, please press star followed by two. Again, to ask a question, please press star followed by one. As a reminder, if you are using a speakerphone, please remember to pick up your handset before asking your question, and please ensure that you are unmuted locally. Our first question today comes from the line of Laurent Vergonal from Credit Science. Please go ahead, Laurent. Your line is now open.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I have two, actually. First one is just if you could, maybe I didn't get it right, but did you say EBITDA would be lower than previous quarter, or was it EBITDA margins? I'll ask my second question after you answer.
Both will be lower. I mean, the... We have a sequential drop in prices over the past months, and this impacted also the profitability. So we will see lower margins and a lower EBITDA, nominal EBITDA in the second quarter. On the other side, we are probably now close to the bottom line regarding prices, and therefore this is probably the lowest point unless there is a significant change in input factor costs, which we don't see at the moment. But yes, second quarter will be below the first quarter in both figures.
Got it. Could you give us maybe a magnitude of what you say in terms of EBITDA or decline in EBITDA in the second quarter?
I mean, it's still very volatile, so it's really hard to say how low it will go. But if you consider that the first quarter includes stronger months at the beginning, so it will be considerably, but nothing we haven't seen before. So, but it will be significantly weaker than prior year. I mean, prior year we had the record EBITDA in the second quarter. So this is not what we should look at, but also compared to the first quarter. It's very hard to predict, and therefore we are not giving a very detailed analysis, because it's also very difficult to predict how the result will be.
Got it. I was just wondering, are you planning to, I don't know, like issue any bond in the near term, maybe to finance some of your growth projects?
There are currently no plans for bond issuance. I mean, our bond is still mature, has a maturity in March 2026 and a coupon of 3%. So there is currently no need to do some kind of refinancing. And regarding financing growth, we focus on our operating cash flow and add only to a smaller amount additional debt, given the current debt level, which should be sufficient to finance also what we have in mind in the next month.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question today comes from the line of Axel Madsen from Capital 4. Axel, please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, and thanks for taking my questions. First one, I see that part of the increase in sort of, or the reason why margins are lower is the increase in wages, and it seems like there's a one-off payment. So how much is sort of the increase in continuing wages versus how much is the one-off payment? That's my first question.
The one-off payment, the effect from the one-off payment in the first quarter was approximately 2 million euro, slightly above that. And the remaining is related to a higher average number of employees and also the increase on salary.
Okay, that totally makes sense. And second question, your new waste-to-energy plants, have you given any number on sort of how much that's going to cost in CapEx?
The current estimate is between 170 and 190 million euro to build the plant.
Okay. So actually, you know, it's the same area as when you paid for the combined heat and power plant back in the day, I guess.
It's this technology which is a little bit less expensive. It's not a circulating, the English word. I mean, it's an easier technology. We are probably all no technicians,
yeah.
But it's a bit cheaper than the power plant in Altenhüttenstadt.
Okay.
But it basically has the same setup. So it's very similar, but has a little bit cheaper technology.
Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. That's great. Third question, you're repaying part of the Sterling loan. What's the interest on that, or why did that make sense to take out before any of the other debts you have outstanding? Is that floating rates?
It is floating, and the SONIA rate increased significantly over the past month. And so it was in total the most expensive item in our debt portfolio, and the maturity was mid-2025. So the choice was to redeem this or partially redeem this loan.
Great. I appreciate that. Final question for me, and I don't know how easy it is to answer. You talked about sort of more super lightweight being sold. How much of that is produced by you guys?
We can basically, the PM2 is designed for super lightweight grades, and super lightweight means below 90 grams. We also tried and produce a certain amount of 85 grams paper now on PM3 as well. But the product range of the PM3 comes to a stretch at this point. So PM2 was always designed to run super lightweight grade, so the majority of PM2 is super lightweight. We can go as low as around 85, maybe in the future also 80 grams on the PM3, but this has also at the beginning is more challenging than producing lightweight like 100 grams or 90 grams. So it's we are moving going ahead with the PM3 product range, but this has also some production challenges. So therefore, a portion of the lower output was related to a higher share, especially at the PM3.
Okay. And is there a big pricing difference between sort of lightweight and super lightweight?
There is some additional, some markup for lightweight. The lighter you get, the more you will be paid. But if you are not, if you can't run the machine much faster, then the markup is not sufficient to fully recover the less output. Paper is sold by ton, and if you move, for example, from 100 grams to 50 grams, you lose 20%, but the markup is less than 20%. So you must be more productive. That means run the machine faster to compensate for the lower gram basis weight. And therefore, there is a markup, but it's not fully recovering the less output.
Thanks so much for your time.
New machine,
appreciate it. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Our next question today comes from the line of Saul Castillo from M&G Investment Management. Please go ahead, Saul. Your line is now open.
Yes, hi, thanks for taking my question. I just want to go back to your guidance for Q2, and you said that Q2 EBITDA will be significantly lower on a sequential basis, and significantly lower could have different meanings. So I know this question has been asked, but maybe I'll ask it in a different way. Is like a minus 50% on a sequential basis a possible outcome? Are we talking about that sort of magnitude? And as a follow-up, if you see Q2 EBITDA as a bottom EBITDA for the year in terms of quarterly performance or a sort of a new run rate? Thank you.
Typically, it can be the weakest operating quarter of the year. The third quarter is typically impacted by the maintenance shutdown at the power plant. So if we normalize the effect from the power plant, it can be the second quarter is the weakest of the year, but not the new run rate. We've seen some improvements in terms of volumes, and we see no further drops in prices. And once we came to the bottom line, I mean, there are so many capacity which is now already not profitable, and we can still run our machine. So I think there is, once the demand picks up, there is also need for a turnaround in, or at least a correction in prices. That means at least slightly higher prices. So it could be that the second quarter is the lowest of the year, but we don't expect that this is the new normal. And regarding the first question, I mean, if 50% drop compared to the first quarter is probably very pessimistic, but it can be more than 10% or 20%, yeah.
Okay, I got you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no additional questions waiting at this time, so I'd like to pass the conference over to Volker Metz for any closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Then thank you very much that you joined our conference call on the first quarter result on a Friday afternoon. We know that this is not the most, not the best time to do it, but we needed from our time schedule, it was not possible to do the other way. Therefore, thank you very much that you took the time on the Friday afternoon. And we are looking forward to have you on the second quarter results call at the end of August. And thank you very much and have a nice weekend later on. Bye-bye.